Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to A Novel Beginning, where we are sharing an author's reality. I am your host, C.R. Rice, and as always, I have the wonderfully amazing Daniel M. Orsino with us this week. If you're following us, you know we weren't here last week. There was a few little technical difficulties, but we are officially back, and we are here. So today, we are going to be talking about how Wonder Twins happened, how we came together, we finally did our Activate moment, and what that meant for not only us, but indie authors everywhere. So let's welcome in Dani and her magnificence. How are you doing, Dani?
Good, Chels. How you doing?
I am good. We were just talking. You know, I have great weather here, so I get to just always have fun in Florida.
Jealous. It's rainy and wet here in Charlotte. Dreary.
No. Oh, no. No, thank you. I will pass on that. But let's dive right in because we have so much on this one. This one is actually the moment that I felt like we could make a change in the way that indie authors were represented. And that came off of, you know, building a pop-up bookshop and building the, you know, our Wonder Twins event, which most of, I would say, 99% of our time is spent making things possible for indie authors everywhere, no matter their publisher, self-published, or anything. And I don't know about you, but I know when we were talking about it, one of the biggest things we wanted to do and we wanted to make sure we changed is that we didn't just take the authors that come from, you know, a big five or even an indie publisher or a small publisher or hybrid. We wanted to include those self-published authors because they work just as hard, if not harder, than, you know, a lot of other authors. And I think that's what helped us make that first big splash because we are coming up on our one-year anniversary of doing the pop-up bookshop.
I can't believe it's been a year. That's kind of crazy.
I know, it's been a year since
we
came up with this idea and it was just nothing, and now we're about to hit our 1 year, and that is still insane.
I think part of it is also, we talked about it, we saw these authors, including ourselves, working really hard to make something happen, to reach a new audience, because it's so hard to stand out on Amazon, on Barnes & Noble, because whether you're a self-published author, whether you're coming from a hybrid or a small boutique, without that huge amount of money behind you to push, and even then, it's, you know, it's lightning in a bottle. You can sit there and your book can be great. And I'm not saying it's not. You can have a great book and it could be hitting all the right trends, all the right tones of the draw that it starts to catch on and catch fire.
Yeah.
So to get into a new audience, you know, you can do the Amazon ads and I've done them all. You've done the Facebook ads. We both have done those things where it's like,
oh,
okay,
yeah,
I've got all the right keywords. I bid correctly. I've done this. And then you sit there and you watch. And you're like, nothing is happening. What is going on? And then, you know, you do the Instagram ads. And you do all this stuff. And you're just waiting to go viral or whatever. And you get this advice of, like, you got to just keep churning out more books because your back catalog is what sells. And then you start buying into that. And then you're like, this is all BS. You know, you don't know who to believe anymore.
Right.
So the idea to introduce these authors to a bigger audience, and maybe an audience they wouldn't have thought of, because when you say you're going to go to a GalaxyCon or a Comic-Con, you know, when you just say Comic-Con convention, everybody kind of looks at you who's never been to one, and they're like, you're going to take me where? And you're going to let me sell what? And they're going to buy it? And then you have to explain it's not just Comic-Con or comic book enthusiasts. It's everybody who's going with them.
Right.
And that kind of opens up the door. And we've been there when we're at the booth and somebody comes by and goes, look, my girlfriend let me come to this, so I need to come back with a gift. And if I don't, she's going to be really mad at me. Or, you know, the mother's coming through. And she's like, my kids are over there buying, you know, whatever. What do you got for me? Because I'm going to be here all weekend. And I, you know, they've driven from wherever and they're back in the hotel. And she's like, I need something. I love reading. So there is an audience there, and it's pretty much captive at that point.
It is.
So
they're
it
stuck.
Is a great place. Yeah. They're not going anywhere.
No, and I think one of the things that really worked for us is we pushed people, the people that didn't want to go to that first one. And I remember being super nervous because we only had – our first one was a little rough. I think we only had like 6 authors. And now we are turning authors down because they realize that this is an audience that they don't have. And it's not cheap. It is not cheap to take your book and go to a convention, regardless if it's a GalaxyCon or a ReadPop event or any of those. It is expensive. And it's not just that it's
expensive.
You have no help. You have nobody to
That's
sit there because you can't leave your booth. You leave your booth, you're going to come back. Your stuff is probably going to be gone. So it's
– yes. Yep.
And there's
– that's a good point.
We created a supportive community, and I think that captivated a lot of people after our first event in Richmond last year, is because the authors that were feeling lost, that were feeling unsure of their books, unsure of what they're doing, met and made great friends. They got excited when they actually sold their books, not just being told, hey, you sold a book, but – that face-to-face interaction that they got and having somebody ask them to sign their book, and even the authors that we had send in and that took a chance on us on our first event to send their books to us because that's something that we offer that nobody else does. And 100% of every sale goes directly back to those authors that have worked so hard. And when they got their sales, we were excited about that.
I think that's a big piece because, as you and I both know, sometimes when you're with a publisher, they'll say, hey, look, I'm gonna go to the convention. I'll take your books. And as someone, I've been to New York Comic Con, and I've gone and seen HarperCollins and Simon Schuster, and they have huge, huge booths where they are selling a lot of books. They're not selling every book they have. They decide, I'm only going to take maybe a book that's coming out. Here are my top 10 books, whatever. Even as big as that booth is, they are not bringing every author. They're curating and they're picking and whatever. But when we would go with, when the publisher would go, even then you're not guaranteed to go. That's first.
Well, most of the time they don't let you go.
No, but I mean, even your books, may not
go.
Oh
yes, yes, yes.
So it's not guaranteed your book is going to go. So if they're going to an event and you're like, my book would fit in so well there, it doesn't mean they're taking it. That's first and foremost. And if they are going, they're not taking 10 people to work the booth. It might be 3. It might be 4. So that person doesn't know your book. It's not like they're going, oh, yeah, I know that book. Okay, yep, I'm versed on it. They know the synopsis. They're going to pick up the back and read it and go, you might like this. It's not a sale. It's not a sales pitch. The other thing is, in our case, we're only making $1 off every book that's sold. That's it. We get $1. So if we happen to sell 5 books, we made $5 off that convention. That's it.
Yes.
Now, even if we worked that convention, we only make $1 off the book.
And on top of that, it's sabotage. I know all of the events that I've gone to, the ones that you've been, we created, and one of the things that we make sure that we still get everybody to understand is you do not just sell your book. You sell everybody's book.
You're not allowed.
Which people were a little weird about. I mean, you remember the first time
they
looked at us like
we were crazy.
Like, what do you mean I don't get to sell my book? It's like, no, that's not what we said. You can absolutely sell your book. But if somebody comes up and you ask them, hey, what do you like to read? Or what is your favorite show on TV right now? Let me get you into reading again. And they go through and they just go to your book. First of all, I'm going to flag you because you're lying, because your book is not about all of these things. I've read every single book that has been at the bookshop. I know what your book is about. And I didn't want to create that hostile environment. And we agreed that if we saw any of that hostility, if people started getting that resentment, which we have had, we are not exempt from those things. We have had the issues that everybody, because you want to make that money. But it's not just about making money. It's about matching the reader with the right book. It's about making other authors feel good. It's about knowing that you are building a successful community group, because the writer's community is not always nice.
Rainbows and sunshine.
Small. They're not always nice. They're not always supportive. They're not always, you know, I'll read a book, and if I love the book, I send it to everybody that I know. There are authors that don't do that. They will hear, and I do the same thing. I will give my honest opinion on a book. And I always tell people, be very careful, because I am one of those honest reviewers. But it's because I'm not mean. I never go below,
no.
You know, like a 3.
No.
I'm not anything like that. And if there is an issue, I have help. I mean, when we first started getting these authors, we would go through, and I told you, I don't want to name the person, but I had told you that the story was great, but the editing was dreadful, absolutely distractingly so. And I was like, what do we do? And we're like, well, you had said, you know, obviously they can't come, but you need to reach back out to her, and you need to let her know that editor that she paid for didn't do their job
and
that she really needs to look into it. And then we helped her, you know, find a good editor, and now she's doing great. But you have to be able to, as an author, reach back out, not be like, oh, I can't wait until somebody reads this and they find out what, you know, how terrible this is, or she gets her first. That's not what it's supposed to be. But unfortunately, that is what the writing community is a lot of times.
There are more than enough readers for the books.
Yeah.
There's no shortage of that, because it's not like you read one book and go, I'm never going to read again. Whoop, knock that person off the list. There's more than enough. What we had seen being at conventions, and this is partly because people were going alone. That's first. So some people had gotten into a habit of, this is my space, this is my booth. You know, I have to get everybody who comes by, because I have to make up the $500 I paid just for the spot, not including food, lodging, everything else. So they get very much like, I've got to make this up, put this up. So they get into that sales happy mood. And we saw that even when they were sharing a spot with the publisher, much so that their book was everything. Like, if you went up and you were like, hi, I'm looking for a steampunk fantasy with 2 dragons who fall in love and then go for coffee. They'd be like, that's my book. Yep, that's my book.
Like, oh, my God, you just nailed my book. You nailed it. You just read the blurb. That was perfect. This is exactly what my book is about. Like, no, it's not.
And then the next person comes up, and they're like, so I want – I need a medieval time-traveling astronaut. Oh, that's my book. Totally my book.
Yeah.
And you're sitting there going, your book cannot be all these things. You understand your book is a zombie romance. It's got none of those things in it. And you just sold it to 3 people under the guise of it being 4 different genres, right? But they just didn't
care.
They just wanted the sale. And
you're
going to
lose a reader. You're going to lose that reader, not to mention every single person that they know that reads. And God forbid they chew you out in reviews, because they don't just do it in one place. Those are the – when you lie to a reader about what a book is, those are the people that will go onto every platform like it is their day job. And they will leave that review, and every time you post something, because I have seen authors do it, where they lie about their book, and then that person stalks them. And every time they post something, they go in and they're like, no, this is probably lies. Trust me, I fell for it too. And I'm like, come on, guys. Like, not worth it.
You got to be careful. You got to be so – the other thing is when I've spoken to authors who've done that, they're like, but my book is so good, they won't care. They'll just get lost in the story.
Honey,
I'm like,
yes,
no, no, your book isn't that good that you can just lie about the genre. The other thing we saw when we traveled with publishers and we watched it, a scene, we've seen it firsthand, is they've lied about the book they're selling. So because they don't know all the books, they've handed the book to somebody and been like, oh, it's about this, or that's the first book in the series, and it's not. And we've seen the reviews where the people have gone, I was sold as this is the first book in the series, and it's not. It's the third book. But it wasn't sold by the author. And they've kind of like said, okay, I was sold, but it's not the author's fault. And some of them have been nice enough. I was one of the people who got a review like that. where she flat out said, I was sold as this was the first, but it's the third, but the author didn't sell it to me. And
yeah.
She was kind enough to say, I really liked it, and now I'm going to read the rest. For some reason, she still hasn't read the first one, and we're still trying to find the
I know.
December,
I was
going to
say,
book.
I know this
we
reviewer.
Know. She's read the entire rest of the series, but has not read book one. But she was sold the wrong. She was sold under a total different guise, and I felt horrible about it. But we have seen that. We've seen people lie and say they're a New York Times best-selling author, or the publisher
anybody
told
can be New York Times
best-selling that,
author.
And we're like, but they're not. And we feel bad because the author's not lying. It's the publisher lying. But that's going to come back to bite the author. So our goal was, let's make this a fun experience. Everybody get to know it. And then what we did was, if you like this, you'll love that. So we took a book that everybody knows, A Fourth Wing, A Divergent, something that everybody knows, and then compared it to a book. But the comparison
as long as it made
sense.
Yes.
Yes.
We've had the people that, oh my gosh, she had we've had some rough ones, but there was, it's so hard because
Sarah J. Maas. That's our big one right now is everybody
is
Sarah J. Maas. And here's
you read the first one, you know her whole series. I'm just kidding. Like,
you're not
I'm not
J.
kidding,
Maas.
But I'm right.
You at least
also,
have a say in it to be Sarah J. Maas. If you don't, you are
not
Sarah
that,
J. Maas.
No, because you don't. Because there's literally not, I can name you probably 9 authors that have the exact same storyline. The only difference is that hers have fae. Some people have vampires. It's fine. Danny, we've had this fight. I'm not doing this fight.
But, you know, if you're comparing A Court of Rose and Thorns or a court, whatever court it is, I forgot because she's got so many. Y'all got to have a fae in it if you're going to make
but
that
But it's the same thing with...
I guess she's got the other... I forgot what the other ones are. I'm just so over her. But you know what I mean? You got to have
it.
But
it's it, also,
but it,
you know...
You can't just throw it.
You can't just
hop.
Say that you're going to be... You write horror, so you are... Anne Rice,
King.
Or you are Stephen King. Like, come on, guys.
Oh,
just because you think you do fantasy or you think you do high fantasy, 9 times out of 10, guys,
you
if you are doing
George
fantasy, it is not high fantasy. You are not George R.R. Martin. You're not Tolkien. Like, you got to branch out a little bit. Maybe you're the next Terry Pratchett. Maybe you're the next Scott Westerfeld. Or there's so many authors, guys. You got to branch out. Be realistic with it. And it's okay if you're not like the big names, as they say. They just have damn good marketing is what it comes down to. Because if you realistically read some of these books, they are not what everybody says they are. Everybody is getting lost in the hype, which is one of my favorite things. I love it when people do. But we made sure that authors know. We also made sure that authors know that you don't want to tell somebody your book is like Sarah J. Maas, because people are going to go in and they're going to expect those themes, that energy, that spice, that everything, maybe it's not. People are going to read it and expect the dynamics, and if that's not what your book has, that's fine. There is another book that is going to be similar to yours. And I'm very sorry, this is going to crush hearts. Your book is not 100% original. We have found one book that is 100% original, and every person that has read it is traumatized and not in a good way.
Yes. No.
I think it still haunts Corey. I think it still haunts him, like deep when he can't sleep. There is a population for that. Then we find something that works for you. And because we are not like a publisher, your publisher is not reading your whole book. They're not. Your editor probably isn't even actually reading your whole book. They're not doing it for comprehension. They are doing it for grammatical reasons. So when I go through and I read it, I read it like a reader does, because I honestly love reading. I read hundreds of books a year, but I give honest opinions, and that was one thing that we made sure worked. We make sure you nail your pitch. We make you sit down in front of me or stand. I don't do it in front of everybody. I feel like that's too traumatic. That's kind of like high school days where you have to read your speeches. But I pull you to the side. I ask you what your 15-second elevator pitch is. If you need help, we help you. And then we turn it into a 30-second elevator pitch. So when somebody asks you questions, you're not trapped on that 15-second where you keep saying it again, because we have met people that have done that get so nervous. And authors, yep. I feel like most of them are naturally introverted as it is. So mm-hmm. having that little bit of exposure, it is nerve-wracking, but that's why we create such an amazing group at the booth, because we get excited to pitch your book, which makes you excited to pitch your book. And if you panic like I do and like Danny does mm-hmm. when somebody asks you about your book, to this moment, I could not tell you what my book is about. Give me a little bit and I can get my way back to it. But when you get put on the spot, it's really hard. So having that group, that was one thing we both realized was a weakness, and we needed other people mm-hmm. to be able to stand in when we couldn't. So we did that.
Other people sell our books better than we do. That's true.
Oh, my God,
other people do. I forgot my main character's
name the other day. I panicked.
I still don't have a pitch for the new book. I still don't. I got to come up with something in 2 weeks, but I still don't. I keep looking at it going, I have no idea how I'm going to – I look at the cover and I go, I have no idea how I'm going to sell you. Not a thing.
Oh, I've already got your pitch. Don't worry. I've got you. You're good.
Oh, good, because I got nothing. I stared at it today going, no idea how I'm going to sell you at all. Just staring at it going, I don't know. So it happens to everybody, but that's why we've done it the way we have, and we don't take every author. There are authors who've said, I really want to be at the booth, and we're like, not this time, sweetie. It's you're not there yet, or it's a matter of what personalities will mesh, what doesn't. It's, there is something that we have to kind of look at the chemistry of it, but also mm-hmm. what we bring to the booth now. There's books. We have bookish items. We have different things to attract people to the booth, and then from there, it's kind of up to you what you do with that. We, you know, it's kind of a fishing lure thing. We throw this shiny object out there, bring them in, and then you got to close it. We can only do so much.
But we
but
also, you know,
also
we
learned.
Yes, we have
learned a lot.
Because like everybody else, we're still learning. We're still doing all of that, but. We have been lucky enough to work with GalaxyCon and have GalaxyCon work with mm-hmm. us, and they have helped us expand. They brought us to new places. They brought our mm-hmm. authors to new places and our books to new places that we had no idea how to get to those audiences, because it is hard. Not everybody can go in and get into a bookstore. Some people don't have the money to throw down for that, and it sucks. Like, I hate
and even getting in a bookstore.
So
even when you get into a bookstore, when you see those books on the end cap, the publisher has paid a premium to make sure certain books are on the end caps. That is not the bookstore Barnes & Noble going, that cover is so pretty. Oh, my God, I've got to put it on the end cap. No. The publisher has come in and laid down sometimes up to $30,000 to say, I need to make sure our books are on the end cap at all times. And there's certain prices. That's not out of the kindness of their heart. Make no mistake. Okay? Fourth Wing is not on the end cap because it's Fourth Wing. Oh, my God. No, that did not happen that way. They shoved out some money, and that's where it went. For anybody who goes to IBPA, you know, the big conference in Chicago and all that stuff, when you see the booth, trust me, a publisher shelled out $750 just to get a shelf. And then they're only allowed to bring 6 books. So when that publisher calls you up and goes, oh, my God, I'm going to bring a couple books, okay, and you're one of them. All right, thanks. Appreciate it. That's wonderful. But you know what they're getting in return? They're getting the card of every librarian who comes by that booth. You're not getting it. You ain't. You the little author, you ain't getting that. They're getting
I just
it.
Have to
so
say, the
that
voices
that
you come up with for publishers, we have
yes,
the same
I
publisher. And I'm trying to go through, and I'm like, who the hell is she talking to? That is that voice.
Because right now, because you know I'm bitter. So right now, that's the voice they get right now. But, yeah, because I found this information out today. Because, you know, IBPA, now I'm part of the publishing world, as Fay and Logic. So I've been getting these invitations, and now I'm finding out what went on behind the scenes when we were there. So when they went to Chicago and they were like, okay, we can't take any books, whatever, I found out BS. So, yes, there is a shelf, and they can take 4 to 5 books, and then they get free author signings. So when we were told, yeah, it's just we're just taking the authors in the area that we're only allowed like 2 or 3, no, they were able to schedule whoever they want. Get the cards of every librarian who comes by for you to contact. So there's all these little convention tricks that you as an author are not aware of, because we weren't aware of this. We were just like, hey, why aren't our books there? No, they take pretty covers to attract the librarians in.
And then they honeypot them. I like it. It's smooth.
Yep. And then they're allowed to sell them. But, of course, you're only making a dollar. Like in our case, you only make a dollar for what the books are sold. So once all these tricks were kind of told, we were like, this ain't going to happen to us.
No, we didn't want to subject other authors to it.
No,
we didn't
want to
be those people.
No, and then we got panels. So that was another audience because sometimes people go to walk the con floor and some people go just for panels.
Yes.
GalaxyCon was kind enough to say, you know what, you guys have a lot of content. You have voices. Let's do something with that. So now the authors are sitting on curated panels, and now they've got a whole other audience for that.
Yes.
So this was part of the whole thing was let's get your voice out there.
And boy, did we make a ruckus.
Yeah, we're a little loud. I don't know if you've noticed this, but we can be a little loud on these things.
But it's great because people love it, and people have gotten exposure, and I think it's another thing that we wanted to focus on is because a couple of the cons we have gone to, it has been focused on only certain authors. Their main draw was they thought that this book was great or this was whatever, and it wasn't something for everybody. And so what we made sure that we do is if you don't want to be on a panel, you don't have to. Do we try to get you to step out of your shell and do it? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But we have had the people that go to our panels, and we do ridiculous shenanigans at these things. And they come to the booth, and they talk to the authors, and they grab your book when they originally wouldn't have. Because we have those conversations, we are at the point where people know us at all these fun things now. It makes you feel like a mini celebrity. It's just super cool. Very nerve-wracking when they scream to you as you are walking the floor, but that is fine. That's still super funsies. And they keep coming back. They keep wanting your books. They want to take a picture with you. They want to know everything that you're doing. And you are building an audience because even if you get one person, you don't know how many people that book is going to affect after selling it to that one person, especially getting to see you up close and personal. Even when you send your books to us, we have sent them, everybody that buys your book, have sent people to you, and we have had people come back and say, look, I spoke to this author. She said that she was going to send something specific for me. This is my name. I swear this is my ID and everything. And they still get that personal author experience versus when we used to go and there was nothing.
Yeah. And we had nothing. So, and that's something actually we're going to talk about next week, Chelsea, because next week's chapter is The Mask Slips. And
ooh,
so as we sit here and talk about why we've done all this and what has pushed us, it's because the mask started to slip and we started to see behind the curtain a little bit. And, you know, I'll use the phrase as the sausage was made. We started to see what went in the sausage and we were like, you know, might be getting a little messy on here. So that was a big part of it and why all of this activated and why this created. So next week, same time, same place. 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 p.m. Pacific. Next week's episode is The Mask Slips, and we're going to kind of get into some of these little things and these little niches. But if you didn't catch this episode live, you can always catch it, catch the archive on blogtalk.com/Mancini, and check this out. But if all else fails, check us out on Instagram at Wonder Twin Events. And we'll have all the information on how you can listen to us live or listen to the archive version and check out next week on As the Mask Slips. Dun, dun, dun.
Or if you want to apply to the bookshop. If you want to apply to the bookshop, you can check it out there too.
And if you're in the Richmond area, March 15th through the 17th, come to GalaxyCon. There are still some day passes left. Not a lot, but check it out there. You can go to galaxycon.com, check out for the Richmond live event, and see if you can stop in and see us and come talk to us then. And then you can buy some books off us. We'd love that. That's what we're all about. So check us out next week, guys. Same time, same place.